Hi, y'all. Howdy, howdy. But you know, they may say, howdy, stranger, but we're no strangers, right? Oh, it's always, is it good to be home when you're away for a while? This is home for Ivy and I. Maybe it'll take some time, but Texas may become home someday. You know, it's really true. You know, things are bigger in Texas. The cockroaches are bigger. And you ought to see those mosquitoes. Ooh, they're bigger. And I'll tell you something else. Nothing has changed here because I had the presentation for the Bible class and I said, I got to use the restroom. So I walked down the steps and man, does it smell good back there. I remember those days. Wonderful. Trouble is, you know, I'm a little more apprehensive today than I used to be because age is catching up to me and I do things that I normally wouldn't do. For instance, I've noticed that in my older age, I have a tendency to forget to zip up the fly of my pants. And Bob was commending Ivy and Sandy. I think you too, weren't you the designers of this thing? And when they designed it and we brought it in, I says, I better not forget to zip up my pants. Because those people are looking right at me. So it smelled good down there and in the restroom, but I made sure I zipped up my pants. So I know if you're really intensely looking this way, that you're listening to the Word of God. And let's dig into that Word together. I'm so grateful for, just thank you, Jordan, for letting me speak today. Just good to be here. It's good to see the church doing well. God's family is all over the world. Wherever you go, where Christians meet together, it's just good to be together with God's family. Why? Because we carry and cherish precious promises that are etched in stone. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Let's take a look at Psalm 91 today. We're going to hopefully encourage one another because after all, aren't we not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but to encourage one another? Daily. We're to encourage one another. And so that's why we're here today, to experience the joy of knowing that we are a redeemed people. We have been redeemed by a sacrifice that's beyond really understanding. Made it possible for us to be justified by faith. Jesus wants to bring something into our lives that I think is so vital for a healthy experience in life. Peace. So we're going to talk about that today. I want to read a passage in John, and then we're going to dig into Psalm 91. Jesus said, "These things I speak to you, that in me you may have peace, and that you would have in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, he was speaking to his apostles. He was speaking to those who were gathered around at the Lord's Last Supper. And he was explaining to them that they were going to go out into the world and they were going to experience things that could be very traumatic, be very, very difficult for them. "You're going to have tribulation," he said, "but you be of good cheer. In me you have peace." You know, that's my prayer for each and every one of my brothers here, my sisters here in Bonner Springs. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for bringing peace into our lives by restoring fellowship with you through our Lord and Savior, and our mediator, Jesus, who made it possible for us to have our sins lifted from our record and to be justified by our faith in Him, to come into Your presence without blemish and without spot, anticipating a glorious welcome in Your throne room through our trust and faith in Jesus. So thank You for Your mercy and grace and forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. How to find peace. I was thinking about this. You know, in the world we have tribulation, but you be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. And if He overcame the world, He said that He has something special to offer folks like you and me. And He wants us, in spite of what's going on around us, to be able to live in a sea of tranquility, knowing that we are the object of His love and His care. How to find that peace, of course, is left up to us. We are to open the book that He has left to guide us. We are to examine those precious words, and we're to understand that those words are divinely inspired for the purpose of ushering us through life safely to our eternal destination. Now, there's a lot of bumpy roads ahead. There's a lot of bumps in the road. But we can navigate our way through all of that with our faith in Christ. Psalm 90 began a book of Psalms, and these first few Psalms in this book that you may be looking at were written by Moses. And if you think back on Moses' life, Moses had a lot of tribulation. He had a lot of problems with people. But he was promised that God would be with him. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was that rock that led Moses through the wilderness? It was Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1 through 3. So that rock that we're looking at today and these words from Psalm 91 can be, Jesus and the Father are one. So it very well could be the assurance coming right straight from Jesus Himself. In all the tribulation that Moses had, he knew he was not alone. And I want to communicate this message today to somehow ensure that you understand that no matter where you are at in life, no matter what your circumstances may be, you're not alone. Jesus is with you, and in Him you will have peace. He's our safe place. He's our safe place. Yeah, there's a lot of problems around us. Yes, we experience health issues. We experience relationship issues. We experience angst over the condition of the world. Oh, that reminds me of the mechanic that was trying to kind of calm down an irate customer. And he said, it's going to take 2 weeks to get the parts and get your car running. And the guy says, well, 2 weeks? It only took the Lord 6 days to create the whole earth. And the mechanic said to him, yeah, but have you considered the condition of the world lately? Yeah, we're going to have peace in spite of the turbulence around us when we trust in Jesus. Let's take a look at this passage. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. Let's read that together. Notice, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. I don't know if you've studied the life of Moses recently, but what you'll find is that he needed some place to hide. He needed a safe place to go to. He needed to know that there was a place of solemn rest. There was a place where he could just kind of get away from it all. And he knew it was in the Lord who was guiding him through the wilderness wanderings. He was Moses' safe place. I got on the internet just a few days ago. I said, what am I going to preach in Bonner Springs? How am I going to encourage them? How am I going to use the Word of God to ensure that each and every one of these precious people that I've interacted with personally and Ivy's interacted with personally through the years have the blessed assurance and the hope that is based on eternal promises? How do you do? I said, hey, I just read through in my Bible readings the Psalms again, because it's so comforting to go to the Psalms and find peace. I said, I'm going to select that. I got on the internet and I said, yeah, you know, people have to deal with the storms of life. Some of them who have the money down in Tornado Alley, they say, I'm going to build myself a safe place. Meditate. Who is our safe place in reality? Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Don't be anxious for anything. Oh, that's a hard assignment, Lord. If you knew what was going on in my life, you'd be anxious too. But what does he say? He said, no, 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 child. In me you will have peace. How am I going to experience it? Well, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication. You know what the word supplication means? It means to beg. Earnestly seek what God is offering each and every one of us. I look around and I see some folks that I know in your experiences in life, you had nowhere else to go but to Jesus. We don't know. You know, things may be going pretty well for us, but common sense tells us, get ready, because I need a safe place. I need somewhere where I can hide from all the turbulence. I need somewhere where I know that someone is powerful enough to see me safely through all these things. Jesus is our safe place. Don't be anxious. Just beg him for his guidance. Beg him for his presence in your current situation. And watch what he does. Oh, he's brought peace to me so many times. And he'll do it to every one of his children wherever they are, in any place on this globe. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's good to have a safe place, and he's the one that is our safe place. He's our deliverer. He's our deliverer. He's going to make it possible for us to know that it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Let's do some reading. Notice there in verse 3 through 6, surely he shall deliver you. You know, Moses knew that he had someone who would deliver. You may say, well, yeah, but you see all the miraculous things that God did for Moses? We know that those things are written for our learning, that through patience and faith in the Scriptures, we may have hope. So I said to myself, as I prayed that God would speak in a way through me to help anyone who is struggling in this audience with some issue, to turn to their safe place. Because he'll deliver you. He'll make it possible for you to make it through that. And you're going to be okay when you stay with Jesus. Out in the world, you'll have tribulation. Yes, it'll be tough out there, but you be of good cheer. I, Jesus says, have overcome the world. And if I overcame the world, I'll make it possible for you too as well. Is that good news, church? It's wonderful news. Old saints of generations and centuries of time ago have experienced it. Why should we think that it'll be any different with us. But with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now remember, count it all joy when you fall into divers or various temptations and trials. He's going to be with us, quoting out of James chapter 1. You just need the wisdom that only comes from God, and He'll give you peace that you just can't hardly understand. It's well with my soul, you will say. Notice, He'll deliver you. He'll cover you with His feathers. I like these metaphors. I just love the imagery that we find in the Bible. And under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor by day, nor by the evil that lurks in the darkness, nor of the destruction of the noonday. Oh, I'm going to tell you an Ivy story, and she's already tense. She's going to say, oh, no, what is he going to say now? We decided, you know, Bob, we want to get out of the car. We want to walk. We want to get some exercise, you know, to kind of loosen up. So we get out of the car and go on this walking trail. And oh, it was beautiful. All the autumn. We chose to come to this area again now because Ivy wanted to see the color, right, hon? The leaves, the trees, everything. It was just beautiful. We didn't have a care in the world, neither were we paying attention to anything on the path. And all of a sudden we're walking along and I said, look out! And Ivy jumped. I tell you, I didn't know that woman could jump so high in all my life. Right there on the sidewalk, on the trail was a what, hon?
A copperhead.
No, she didn't jump over. She leaped over. And then she pointed a finger at me. She said, why'd you say, look out? You should have said snake. And I said, honey, I didn't have time to think. I just said, look out, baby. You know, Moses had to look out, didn't he? He needed to know that there was someone. You know, those things are venomous, aren't they? You ought to have seen that snake. It had its, I mean, it was ready to. But she jumped over that. And she was safe. We can jump over. We can jump over the trials. We can jump over the disappointments. We can just let the rest of the world go by when we have our safe place firmly established in our hearts and in our minds. Moses understood that, and it was written for your admonition as well, through patience and comfort. Romans chapter 15 at verse 4. It's written. It's in the scripture. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Have you seen that one before? It's written for our admonition that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we can have hope. I need that. You need it. You know, I'll dare say the whole world needs it, don't they? He's our deliverer. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty, mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. How much of your care should you cast on Him, church? Cast all your care on Him. Because why? Church, why should you cast all your care on Him, your safe place? Because He cares for you. Somebody might say, oh yeah, He cares for all these real saintly people. You know, He cares about these that's got it all together. You know, my life's a wreck. And yeah, He cares about, no. He cares about you. First person. He cares about you. And I want everyone in this church to leave this building and understand that you're the created. He's the creator. And it's not in man to direct his own steps. Oh, Lord, I know that. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We need Jesus, and we need his comforting reassurance on a regular daily basis. Why? Because he cares for you. You don't believe it? You don't believe it? What did he do? What does the bread represent? He gave his body on the cross. You don't believe it? He says, I'm giving you a memorial feast that every Sunday, every Lord's Day, you come and meditate on what I did for you. Because he cares for you. The devil, like a roaring lion in verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5, is going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but you resist him steadfast in the faith. I heard about the zookeeper. He kept a lion and a lamb together, you know, kind of like the new utopian age that everybody's hoping for. And somebody said to him, well, how do you put that lion? He says, I put a fresh lamb in there every day. The devil, like a roaring lion, is seeking to devour us. But Jesus is our safe place. He's our peace. Let's move and wrap this up, because I'm anxious to try. I want to, now, you got an acronym for your classes, stew, right? No, it's a chili. What's the acronym for your classes, stew, chili? I want to get some ACV, so I better hurry up. All right. Jesus is our peace. We've learned that. And he is our salvation. Notice in the next section of this psalm. How long life will satisfy him? With long life. You know, I was thinking about that. Not everybody lives long. Lord, are you telling me the truth? There's people who are killed at a very early age. There's people who die from diseases. And they loved you? What do you mean, long life for everyone? Then it hit me. I thought about that. And I said, that is absolutely factual. Because Jesus said, he who believes in me will never die. You will never die. You will live forever. You have long life. We don't want to get wrapped up in the mundane physical. We want to think beyond the physical into eternity. Did Moses know that he was not going to go to the promised land, you Bible students? He'd been told you can't come in there. I'll give you a glimpse of it. You can stand on Mount Pisgah. You can look over Jordan. You can look over the promised land, but you can't go in. But Moses, I'll give you long eternal life. Yes, and I'll show him my salvation. God will show you salvation. It's all you have to do is look to your safe place. You got to go to Jesus. There's a song that I love. It's come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. He's willing, he's able, and he's waiting to save. I don't know. There may be someone in this audience who says, you know, it's time. It's time to be right. It's time for me to understand I've got to deal with Jesus. I'm the created. He's the creator. He doesn't tell me I have to, but he offers me salvation. You know what those early apostles would say to people? Acts chapter 4, in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we, now watch this word, it's imperative, must be saved. If you haven't been saved, and you haven't been saved unless your sins were washed away, what are you going to do with Jesus? Come. I believe the water is probably still ready, isn't it, Jordan? Yeah, the water is ready, and bury that old sinful person so that a reborn, cleansed, perfected Christian. He's not going to live, she's not going to live perfectly, but the sins are continually washed away. In Jesus, our safe place, you come as we stand and sing and encourage one.